Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. As Rekul says, big things happening in the sector. What does that mean? What up, people of the regular chat? A few minutes ago, New York judge has found Donald Trump liable for fraud. So another trial that was set to go for trial in a couple of days, but the judge has decided to grant the summary for the motion for summary judgment that was submitted by Letitia James. And so we have more persecution of Trump happening. This time it is on the claim of fraud and false statements on business records, false statements to lenders, false statements to banks for years. And the judge has decided the case is so clear. That's what a motion for summary judgment is. The facts are so clear and the allegations have been admitted by the defense so much that you can say that even without having a jury, you can be sure that the law has been violated by the standards of the admissions of the Trump side. So I don't know to what extent that was a warranted prosecution based on what I've seen elsewhere. They are taking anything that Trump has said that happens not to be correct and assuming that it's a lie, that it has kind of a malicious aspect to it, that it's a false business record that he has generated himself. When I reviewed these cases, I think that what they found is what they would found in any business out there. They just go after the one of Trump because they don't like Trump, because they don't like the potential of him becoming a president. In fact, attached to this judgment is a request by Letitia James that Donald Trump be made basically incapable of running businesses in New York for years and incapable of making further transactions in New York. I think it was a good thing for Trump to escape New York, but he probably should have escaped it way before because now that he has all of these attorney generals going after him, it's going to be hard to hide that money in Florida. Maybe if he was in another country, maybe if he had converted into cryptocurrency. But as long as he's this official guy with the official bank accounts, I think they're going to get to him and they're going to get money from him. All right. A man drinks 7 liters of soda every day for 10 years.
A man drinks 7 liters of soda every day for at least 10 years. This is what happened to his kidneys. BA is a 48-year-old man presenting to the emergency room with sudden onset weakness.
All right, well, people were saying this is about to happen to you, JF. I don't drink cola. I don't drink the Coke that has sugar in it. I drink Diet Pepsi. And so it's going to be very different in my case. I don't know that Diet Pepsi can hurt your kidney that much. So no, you have failed at generating anxiety in me with regards to my consumption of Diet Pepsi. Pearly Things is on a roll. She's answering to the people saying that kind of stuff like, why don't you interview some happily married men? There are plenty out there. Most men and women today are happily married. That is not true. That is not true. Given the rate of divorces and the fact that there are people still in marriage who are definitely not happy, that is a false statement about the majority of men and women. But that would disrupt your algorithm. And Pretty Things points out this kind of argument sucks. And it's also what I want to address today. The whole idea, oh, why don't you speak to that person? She will totally throw you off. You know, why don't you speak to someone who happens to be happy in marriage? You would have a totally different perspective. It's generally not a good argument against statistics and against math. And that is partly what I would address today. The math of, I have a friend who had a baby at 42 years old, doesn't work. It doesn't work evolutionarily. There's all sorts of little arguments you can make against this, against the idea of getting your children too late in life. But the ultimate argument is the one I never hear being done by anyone, which is the children you get at 42 years old are meaningless evolutionarily. You might as well do a 1,000th of a children evolutionarily, and I'll show why. I'll show why it totally matters, the speed at which you make babies. Rodila says, but the majority of women are the ones to bring divorces to court, so it would seem there are more unhappy married women than men. Yeah, I mean, unhappy woman is relative, you know. Do they even have insight into their own well-being? Party Thing says, if I interview a bunch of smokers who haven't developed lung cancer, will you shut up about how risky smoking is? That is the perfect reply. She's on a roll. I love this girl. You know, it's amazing the amount of people. It may be 95% of the human population, based on what I see on social media. And presumably on social media, we actually get a sample of higher intelligence people than the average, because the average person might not even want to type a tweet. You know, a 100 IQ, 90 IQ is not going to think, oh, how do I look intelligent on Twitter today? But I think that 95% of people on social media believe that it's a good counter to say, oh, I know someone who does this, and oh, I know a girl who has had a baby at 42 years old, and oh, I know a guy, he's very happy in his marriage. It's the exact same crap that I was getting in elementary school. Back in the days when I was a science educator going into elementary schools, I would be like, I would bring my brain, a little sheep brain, you know, let's learn about the brain. And, you know, your feelings come from your brain. And there would always be this fucking retarded child in the class. Always. I swear I've been through thousands of classes. And out of 30 people, there would always be a single child raising their hand and saying, yeah, but my uncle, he says that he sees ghosts. And, like, how do you explain this? And it's someone was dropping a ridiculous, and you would forgive them because they were 7 years old. But I can't believe that we are at this height of intellectual discourse on adult Twitter that we get the exact same stuff. We get, oh, well, I know a guy who does this, and what do you have to say about that? Well, if I've already stated statistics, these statistics presumably include this guy you're talking about. It doesn't. And the fact that this guy is included in the smaller percentage of my stats doesn't change anything to my stats. Kuntzilla says, still though, Jeff always says that any babies are better than none, even if it's from a 40-year-old. Yes, but we have to be careful about what we do in society. I'll get to it, but this is not a valid counter to my argument. My argument is, if your choice is between having no babies or having a baby, and you're already, say, 35 or 37, and it's your last chance, do take your last chance. But don't make a TikTok post about it, trying to convince 17-year-olds to repeat your errors. That is what we have to be careful with. The fact that the last branch of the tomato plant in the fall goes for a last flower, a last shot at making a tomato, and maybe it works, that is not grave. I don't want to cut that tomato plant and stop it from trying its last attempt at a flower. What I want to make sure of is that this flower doesn't come next year and spam the younger flowers about the benefits of waiting for the winter. You know what I'm saying? This is the problem of this whole culture of, oh, wow. Here, let's interview a 47 years old who got inseminated into a metal uterus that she got surgically installed by a doctor, and that somehow it led to a baby. Let's interview this person. Oh, I didn't know you can have a metal uterus, basically hosting your baby growth in vitro while you're dying. Isn't that amazing? Why don't we spam the 17 years olds of this world with this knowledge? Why don't we make TikTok videos about it? No, stop the TikTok videos is all I'm saying. And here's another woman and we have so many examples today of people just not understanding the inherent weaknesses of psychological methods and assumptions that you take when you start asking people what they think. Never, my rule as a cognitive psychologist, and I can tell you that I was a minority in departments of psychology, but my rule is never believe someone on what they report is the reason for their decision. What people report as the reason for their decision is the best excuse they can make up that's acceptable socially. And they don't even have insight into why they've made decisions. So it's totally valueless to be asking people, hey, for example, what this woman was doing, she said, okay, so this throws every red pill argument under the bus. Sorry, Paleo Chris Kahn and Pearly Things, I dare you make a similar poll. And it turns out that she actually only got 105 votes and that So it was not representative at all. And indeed, just waiting longer allowed the Mary a Virgin to be the preferred choice. So she was totally wrong on assuming that 105 votes were representative. But even worse than this, no matter how long you wait, no matter how many thousands of people you would include in your survey, there is something fundamentally wrong with asking people, hey, what do you prefer? Marrying a virgin? Marrying a girl with experience? Never marrying? Or no vote / results only? The problem of this approach is that people don't have insights into why they would answer marry a girl with experience. But here's a story of a cognitive process that could lead me to click on marry a girl with experience when in fact my dream would be to marry a virgin. I'm 39 years old. I know it's not super socially acceptable for me to date a 19-year-old, so there are costs. I know that I'll be looked at weirdly. I have low self-esteem. I think I'm kind of ugly. I know that I'm not going to get a good shot at a good woman, so if I do catch a virgin, she's going to be broken mentally in some form. So yeah, I'm going to go safely knowing that I don't have much value on the dating market right now. I'm going to go safely and click marry a girl with experience because I know deeply down inside that it's all I'm ever going to get. Now, the problem is if you record this choice of mine as meaning that I prefer girls with experience to virgins, you got something totally wrong. I still know that the virgin is superior. But given my situation, I've decided to specialize on a secondary market. It's like if you ask, hey, it's as if saying that poor people actually prefer used cars. It's like, hey, look at the decisions of people. They all go for the used car. And particularly in the poor population of our country, it seems that poor people have a misunderstanding. They think that the used car is better than the new car because they all choose the used car. What's happening with poor people? Do they have a mental defect? Well, no, it's because they knew they couldn't afford the new car. So they went straight away for the used car. They knew it was cheaper. And similarly, the boomer who looks at this question is like, I don't deserve a virgin. My loved ones would look at me bizarre. I'm not worthy of it. So I'm going to go for marry a girl with experience. And very often you'll see this in guys with low self-esteem. They will come with bizarre sexual preferences like, oh yeah, I like their ass when it's a little chunky, you know, I like to grab a little bit of fat, you know, on the sides. And it's like, bro, you're making up bullshit. Your pictures of big asses that you share on my Discord, you guys are disgusting. Because you're lying to yourselves and you're lying to us. The sexy female is not fat. Everyone knows it. But you guys have made a whole narrative where, oh, yeah, that's just what I like. It's just how I am. Oh, yeah, I'm just weird like that. No, you're not weird. You have low self-esteem. That's okay. But don't bullshit me. Bullshit them all you want. Don't bullshit me. Rodita Sid says, just make more money and you'll widen your league and be able to get younger, fitter woman. Yes. I want to talk about something very deep evolutionarily because it's so important. Because it's a blind spot of the boomer individualist mentality around sex and reproduction. And very often, libertarians are thought of as being overly individualistic and, oh my God, you guys are thinking so much about yourself, you can't see the wider picture. But here's an example where me, the libertarian, I see the wider picture on this question, the question of geriatric pregnancy, that is the question of females trying to and being proud and wanting to have their babies after 35. And I want you to realize something. You could have many babies after 35. Your daughters could all have many babies after 35. Your granddaughters could all have many, many babies after 35. And yet, despite each people in the chain, each girl in the chain, having had 3-4 babies, you could still be headed toward extinction. That is, there is a phenomenon in evolution that applies at the population level, that if you only look at me, myself, and I, and you only look, I've done what's right, I've had 4 babies. But if you have them too late in life, you are going toward extinction and you don't even know it. I'm saying this because it's important in response to an attempt that has been going on by Robin, Critical Condition. Robin, for many months, perhaps years, has been pushing for geriatric pregnancy and going after the online right. She's repeatedly went after us. And I feel that I'm targeted because, I feel that I'm included in the umbrella that she's critical of because I'm a right-wing person and I do explain to people how important it is to reconvert our civilization toward wanting females to start their family, start at least planning for their family at 16, and start popping up babies at 18. And I'll show you that we are going toward extinction if we don't succeed at doing this. That's a mathematical fact. We are extinct if we don't do this. So whether you succeed at convincing modern females of this or not is going to determine whether you keep existing or not. Simple as. Because you have these, and I'm not against, by the way, someone having had it rough in life. Someone having attempted to build a family, a woman having attempted to build a family at 20 years old and it didn't work. Ah, too bad. Well, try again at 24. Too bad, didn't work. Try again at 28. Too bad, it didn't work. Try again at 33. Too bad, it didn't work. I'm not saying to this woman, stop trying. Of course, if you've made all of the efforts that you needed to make and you're unlucky and you end up for some circumstance of life, maybe failed pregnancies, maybe a dead husband, whatever it is that led you to be at 35 years old childless, keep going. Try to make some children. I'm not talking to the 35 years old here, but I'm warning the 35 years old. If you do this, please recognize that you had a last shot at life and you took it, but that is no reason to propagandize the young females to reproduce your cycle of errors. That is no reason to display yourself on TikTok saying, hey, here's how amazing it is to have a geriatric pregnancy. Because in this smiling figure here, what you don't get to see is, first, this person had frozen her egg. So this is not a case of someone who naturally fell pregnant at, I mean, she's pregnant with twins at 44. Okay, first, she looks very healthy for 44. The first message to send to young woman is, you're ugly, you're fat, and you're not going to look like this at 44. Okay, first thing, let's be realistic. If you're the average woman, you're going to look much more roughed up by life by the time you're 44. One. Second, IVF has enormous cost. I don't know how much of these rounds were IVF-based, but certainly the last few ones have been. So this girl has been freezing her egg when she was young, and so technically she's dealing with her young eggs still. And the technology is not perfect. It's going to lead you to some amount of trouble in terms of the pregnancy working at all in the first place. And second, the potentiality of having twins result from the pregnancy, from the in vitro process. And third, the possibility that these twins will have birth defects because they're twins and because you have an older uterus that's trying to divide its energy toward two children at the same time, and that increases medical risks of various diseases. The fourth thing to say is, by the way, one of our kids is Down syndrome. So one of the consequences of going on a roll like this, having a baby at 32, 35, 38, 40, 42, 44, let me tell you, she's lucky she just has one kid who's Down syndrome. She could have more. And some of the twins that are on the way could very well be Down syndrome. So those are the usual arguments. And I want to put them aside because they're not the best argument. They're not the best argument, but they are definitely argument why you shouldn't be so deceptive as to show this image here without this context, okay? Because I don't want a 17-year-old girl to think that this will be her situation of happiness when she starts making babies at 32. Very unlikely. And there are things you don't reveal in this picture that should be revealed to the 17-year-old who watches this. So let's remove these arguments. They're not the stumping argument that I want to make tonight. There's also other arguments that I've seen on the internet today. And someone was mentioning on the regular chat, what she doesn't realize is she's 44, pregnant with two twins. So when these two twins will be 16-year-old teenagers, she will be 60 years old. So you're going to be you're going to have the cognition of a 60-year-old trying to teach and to show the direction in life to young teenagers. And you may not realize the lack of energy you will have then when you make the decision today. Today you feel energetic enough to have these children. Will you still feel energetic enough at 60 years old? Not sure. It's a good argument, and we do have to teach this to young women. But again, I'm putting this on the side because it's not the stumping argument against geriatric pregnancy. You want to know what the stumping argument is about geriatric pregnancy? is that even when you do succeed at making babies, and even when you do succeed at having them not have Down syndrome despite your old age, here's what's going to happen. Suppose you are part of a line of descent that has on average 4 babies at the age of average 20. Let's call this population A+. Compare this population with another that has average 4 babies at the age of an average 40 years old. Population D. Now, we have here two populations. They are equal in number to begin with, so 50-50. And these two populations are getting 4 babies in their lives. And when they die, they say, oh, I'm proud of my life. I've had 4 babies. That's a lot of babies, 4 babies. Something to be proud of. Now, here's what happens to these two populations. Starting with one couple on both sides, down the line 80 years, population A+ has 16 people. Population D has 4 people. Down the line 400 years, population A+ has 1,048,576 people. Population D has 1,000 people. Over 400 years. 400 years is not long. It's what separates us from our European ancestors having traveled to North America, becoming people like me. It's not that many generations. In 400 years, the population that was having the exact same number of babies, they're all having 4 babies. But there's one population that's having these 4 babies at a 20-year cycle. There's one population that's having these 4 babies at a 40-year cycle. That's 2 times longer. So while this population doubles itself exponentially at a rate of 20 years, this population only doubles itself exponentially at a rate of 40 years. Within 400 years, even without a single child being dead. We're not talking here about the child being disadvantaged because they have Down syndrome. We're not talking about the fact that you were a bad parent because you were 60 years old when your kids were teenagers. Just the fact that they take more time to get to their generational cycle means that one population has totally overtaken the planet at 1,048,500 people, and the population of geriatric pregnant women has gone down to 1,000 individuals. It now represented 50% of the original population. It now represents 0.1% of the population. Kraft9 says, can it work with an older man but sufficiently young woman? That is the key. Yes, it can. The idea is, this is a woman-centered calculation. Now, the opposite could work also, but it just so happens that it doesn't work. Just because women cannot inseminate at 60 years old, you know? But if they could, it doesn't matter how much you pack a large range of males to inseminate a small range of female, or the opposite. You have to have a side to it. And then when you have that side, it's okay. You're gonna shorten your generational time. It's just that on the male side, you're not going to have this shortened cycle, but it doesn't matter. The males are basically going to fuck their great-grand cousins at some point, and it's okay, you know. Not great-grand cousins, but actually great-grand nephews, you know. They're going to be horizontally spreading their genes on a cycle that is truly 20 years old. So if only one of the sexes has a shortened cycle, it's enough to maintain the advantage in this mathematical system. Within 400 years, your geriatrically pregnant population has gone from being an equal part of the population, 50%, down to 0.1% of the population. Please understand this. It has nothing to do with your own little story or the stories women can tell on their TikToks. Yeah, it worked in my case. Congratulations, you can deceive yourself by choosing your unit of accomplishment to be the individual one exactly as a good modernist would. But meanwhile, your civilization is dying and you're not helping much. Can you conceive of a world in which a 20-year-old female is more beautiful than an older one, not even because of what her own uterus can do, but because of the intergenerational potential of exponentiation that she represents? Hopefully you can, and hopefully this can induce as much awe in you, Robin, as it does in me. Awe for how little we are in the grand scheme of things. Please understand that when we say women are most fertile in their 20s, that's what we mean. We don't mean a baby can't technically be grown in some other enveloping material. We're just trying to help you save the world. It struck me as I was writing this tweet that there is something absolutely fascinating about this. Because we tend to think of beauty as a factor that goes into an individual framework. We tend to think, okay, you're beautiful. This individual is beautiful. But what I realized is that the beautiful young female is not just beautiful by her own property. She's not just beautiful for what she is as a whole body, you know? And she's not even the more that there is to add about this is not even her intelligence or even the quality of her genes, which may be indirectly linked to beauty. The beauty of the young female is ultimately the cone of being that can emerge from her pussy. And it's an intergenerational thing. She is beautiful not because what's enveloped within her skin has value, not even because of her uterus. But she is beautiful because she carries a signal of perpetuity and of capacity to outbreed the rest of the world. The reason a young female is beautiful is that this number is bigger than this number. If you can reach this degree of abstraction in your mind, you will realize that a lot of the everyday things that normies care about, what people think about, what people say about this person, how this person looks, all of it doesn't matter. What matters is that a 20-year-old female can bring you to this number, a 40-year-old female can only bring you to this number. And that's the kind of underlying structure of beauty. Go away, says Jeff. Me and my... Don't you talk to me about single cases. I don't want to hear about them. But he says, me and my wife are about to have our first baby, a baby girl. My wife is 44. I'm in my 20s. We have already discussed the issues and have concluded we can offset the evolutionary cost of geriatric pregnancy by impregnated... Go away. That is trolling. That is not true. And I can't even read the final part of your chat. Master Slave says, but JF, soon we will be able to live indefinitely. Your argument won't hold up in 100 years. That is absolutely ridiculous. Even if you were to live indefinitely, which you won't, because living indefinitely is a definitional breach of the second law of thermodynamics. There is no such thing as living indefinitely. Even if you were to accumulate a bunch of people who somehow can extend their life, their existence, I personally don't call this life. If you are a non-reproductive being, just actively capable to move but not reproduce, I don't call this life. I call this a crystallized life form. It's a post-death crystallized life form, which is a memory of what used to be alive. Now, if you want to call this living, okay. But even if you had everyone on Earth having access to these technologies, eventually there would be the problem that to maintain these technologies, you need a certain amount of energy. Eventually, your existence, there would be more and more population growing to occupy the Earth. And at some point, there would be a finite resource that this is the last thing that we need to get one more human being. And as long as one of you don't die, we can't get a new human being here. So there is always a finite limit to an entropic system. That is a law of physics. You're not going to resolve it. And what most likely will happen is you're going to extend your life, what you call life, but which isn't life really. You're going to extend for an arbitrary number of years, probably smaller than you expect. And that life that you create for yourself will be a pale copy of what true life is. Because true life is driven by evolution, and you won't be subjected to evolution anymore once you're crystallized. Once you're crystallized, you better hope that your phenotype is the right one to survive. Not only the right one to survive now, the right one to survive in 100 years from now, the right one to survive in 1,000 years from now. Let me tell you a secret. You won't make it a millennia. You won't make it a millennia without evolution. You'll be like these lesbian frogs that self-inseminate. You'll have stopped your evolution. You'll be outcompeted by anything that pops out of a living vagina. You're going to die because you've chosen not to accept natural death. You're going to have imprisoned yourself into a path of dying in some other way, beaten by some other beings that will have continued to evolve. Good luck with your plan to live forever. I believe it's crap, and I believe it's not even life. All of this to summarize my answer to Robin. Robin, whenever you talk about this subject, you never address the question of the math. I've been raising it to you, I believe, months ago. I believe there was basically a similar post of her on Twitter. I've criticized it. I criticize it again. Please understand that if you let discourse converge toward favoring and promoting geriatric pregnancy, you are crashing civilization down. And when men are trying to encourage young women to realize their value, we're really trying to get you to be the civilizational savior that you've always been. We just want to help you do good. Because on the male side, the reality is that I can fuck an Indian girl. Okay? The reality is that males across evolutionary history have been able to change population, to travel more, to go inseminate somewhere else. We have the easy game of switching toward another people if the females of our people are unable to comply with basic mathematical requirements of their role in life. But I would have wanted the European female to prevail. I would have wanted not to go have to fuck an Indian. And so when we encourage young white female to understand their role as part of this very simple mathematical reality of the universe, what we're really trying to do is include you into the saving of a civilization that at this point could be saved or could go down. And it all lies onto your shoulders. I hope that there are some young European females who will be resilient to the kind of propaganda that this picture tries to push. Shamrock Shake says that only happened after they killed off all their men. Different situation. You're talking about migratory opportunities for males. I don't know. I don't know that. That there aren't peaceful migratory opportunities for males. New York City is gearing up to pay over $1 billion on just hotels over the next 3 years to house illegal immigrants. That's what happens when you call yourself a sanctuary city. We are past our breaking point. With more than 57,000 individuals currently in our care, on an average night, it amounts to $9.8 million a day, almost $300 million a month, and nearly $3.6 billion a year. That's absolutely ridiculous. We don't even have this amount of care for our own citizens. Do you know of a process through which you would be, as an American citizen? Do you know of a process through which you would have free hotels just because you can't afford rent or you can't afford a mortgage? My God, unbelievable. We don't treat our citizens that way. And now there was a bunch of revolted Staten Island's locals who were arrested for blocking the migrant buses that were busing these migrants to the hotels. Man, imagine, these people are revolted against immigrants and they are in New York. When your New York hipster is saying, let's stop this, enough. When your New York hipster has been pushed to the limit, it's time to change your policy. X is working on notifying users about shadow bans. Once notified, users will be able to appeal shadow bans. Why does my account have a label? We have found that your account potentially contains sensitive media, such as graphic, violent, nudity, sexual behavior, hateful symbols, or other sensitive content. Oh my God, watch them. Watch them come at me because of my, basically what I do here, which is a biology course of reproduction on a nightly basis. That is what I do, basically. I teach about vaginas, penises, uteruses, pussy. Watch them eventually judge that somehow my speech is porn. Like my French accent is so sexual in nature that it basically qualifies as imagery. Watch them eventually shadow ban me under these pretense. We allow sensitive media on X as long as it doesn't break our sensitive media policy. If you want to share sensitive content, mark your media as sensitive. Oh, so we have an option. We have an option to label ourselves. So self-report to the Gestapo. What does this mean for my account? We may cover your post with a warning so people who don't want to see sensitive content can avoid it. The reach of your account and its content may also be restricted, such as being excluded from the For You and following timelines, recommended notifications, trends, and search results. Well, hopefully, this is only temporary because I don't take issue if someone comes with something giga disgusting to everyone and people don't want to see you on the For You tab. I could understand some of this, but I hope that this is not like, okay, you're now banned from the For You tab for 6 months. Because, you know, I cover stuff on an everyday basis and I don't know exactly which one of my edgy political statements will trigger people more. So I hope that it's clear, and I hope that it's temporary. And I hope that we can fight back against it when it's unfair. Dino Legovic says, the girls of Twitter are too turned on by JF. They can't handle it. Maybe I will be declared porn. Like, I am walking porn. I have been declared a product subject to import regulations. Like, JF, you can't import yourself like this in a country. You have to fill the papers. The false leftist conception that being in contact with diversity as opposed to being ignorant, as the leftists often characterize the bigots that they imagine in their head. This false conception that contact with diversity reduces racial tensions is about to become untenable as a new generation of white men grow up having been beaten down, wild down, or outnumbered by mobs. We have another case of what seems to be a racially motivated attack here. In fact, I've seen video from even before this white guy crosses the street. He passes beside these two black guys. He doesn't provoke anything. Really, it seems that all he has done wrong is that he was a white guy. And they run to him and they beat him. Here, let's see if you can adjust your perception of tolerance. Let's see if that changes. Because as someone was pointing out, this guy seemed to be walking proudly, very close to the black guy, kind of showing them, see, I'm not racist. Kind of showing them, see, I'm not walking on the other side of the street. And in a way, he's going to regret. He's going to regret having not been careful here. And for the price of a I'm not racist display, sometimes the reward will be a punch in the face from behind, a sucker punch. That's what happened in this case. OpenAI seeks a $90 billion valuation in potential sale of existing shares. OpenAI has been in discussions with investors about a possible share sale, which would value the AI startup behind ChatGPT at between $80 and $90 billion, nearly triple what it went for in April share sale. The startup, which Microsoft owns 49% of, says it plans to reach $1 billion in revenue this year. So I think that this AI has done what it had to do in terms of outcompeting everyone at what they were doing, which is provide functionality quicker than anyone else in the domain of language generation. But I don't think that it has a massive future ahead of itself. I think first that everyone has jumped onto the AI train. I don't think that they will have any sort of advance that they can patent and protect. And so basically all the other companies will eventually converge toward offering a similar performance service. There are too many people researching this and being successful at it. So I believe that it's not necessarily a good investment to go for OpenAI. I believe there will be much more alternatives. Dustin Diamond says, yeah, it's no match for X.AI. Well, X.AI, I mean, have they produced anything, or is that just a dream of Elon Musk? It looks like a dream of Elon Musk for now. Steven Pinker is bringing a point that I think we have to talk about because it's been on my mind for a long time. I keep seeing these boomers clapping at a certain interpretation, which is, you know, these centrist leftists who say, we're not like the other leftists. you guys have gone too far. You know, a little bit like Brett Weinstein. These centrists who say, oh, you guys are going way too far with this trans stuff, or you guys are going way too far with the bathrooms, or you guys have reverted the classical MLK Jr. You know, assumption that non-racism was about judging people by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. You hear that a lot. And I believe that there is something misleading in there. And it's, I think I capture it right there in this interaction between Steven Pinker and this person, Yascha Mounk. Steven Pinker says deep and insightful analysis of the new identitarian ideology here. So this whole conception that the left is now identitarian, they're pro-black, basically anti-white. And that is a sickness of the left that we have to get rid of so that the true classical liberal types can win. And Yascha Mounk was saying, the new ideas about race, gender, and sexual orientation constitute a novel ideology, which radically departs from the traditional left. They are inspired by three main traditions: postmodernism, postcolonialism, and critical race theory. And they focus on the role that groups do and should play in society. That's why I call them the identity synthesis. And I think it's important we warn ourselves of what's happening in these words. What we have is a bunch of leftists who are trying to dissociate from what is truly their work. They are trying to make the case, oh yeah, things went wrong at some point in 2018, but it wasn't us. We were radically different, radically separate. See, he says, constitute a novel ideology. And DK Shadow says, yep, they are shifting the blame. Don't let them. That is one thing we have to remind these people. It didn't happen that way. It's not a shifting ideology. Yes, you lost control of your own movements. Yes, you had your personal boundaries about where we could stop or where it would converge. But fundamentally, the LGBT activist of 2023 is on the same software program as the liberal of the 1960s. It just led to results that the liberals of the 1960s couldn't have thought of and didn't realize was the logical conclusion. But if you look at the fights for civil rights that is at the heart of the modern leftist conception of where society needs to go, it was the same for gay marriage, it was the same for civil rights for women, it was this idea of a constant progression and liberation of something that must have been there, but that somehow traditional society was missing. Like the greatness of the female vote and how it could change society. The greatness of homosexual marriage and how it could release inhibited urges and, you know, help people live genuinely with respect to how they truly feel. The same thing is being done today with trans. And it's the same program. It's this everlasting progressivism of liberation, progressivism of civil rights, progressivism of more entitlement, and hand in hand with that greater entitlement comes obligations toward others, like bigger taxes, like, oh yeah, now you have to give up your woman's sport, oh yeah, now you have to give up woman's bathroom. That is just a continuation of what we had to give up decades ago with, decades ago, depending on where you are in the world, but with homosexual marriage. And it's certainly many decades ago that we had to give up the combined decision-making of males in society controlling political power. We had to give up space so that the male vote was worth less. We had to give up space so that the definition of marriage was worth less. And now we have to give up space so that even a bathroom sign that says female only isn't worth anything anymore. So the same program is being unfolded, but there is a subset of the left right now who is getting busy at shifting the blame and saying, oh, that wasn't us. No, it was you. You didn't install into society the mechanism that would have allowed you to keep your golems under leech, to keep the things that you were unleashing onto traditional society. You didn't keep these protections in. And you are absolutely responsible, even if you weren't there. Your ideology that you have today is responsible for the state of society as we see it today and the state of the left as we see it today. Dino Logovic says, I never said get the jab. that is another thing where they try to shift the blame. It's like, oh, well, no, we used only encouragements. It's like, oh, yeah, it just so happens that this encouragement looks like extortion. But we didn't say you have to get the job. We just said you might lose your job. DK Shadow says you didn't password protect your golem control rod. Exactly. You have been irresponsibly unleashing onto civilization a mentality of liberation that you may not have fully understood the consequences of, but don't try to shift the blame away now that these consequences are showing up, because they're showing up in a way that totally makes sense, predictably, that you could have known and you should have known before you undermine hundreds of years of evolution that have converged toward a stable religious state for society and a stable demographic state for society. Before you cut all of this and assume that somehow the last 20 years of progress are the best representation of the path forward and that it can only work, you had the responsibility of checking, of understanding what you were undermining in society and what you would eventually unleash. Because, and on top of it, it's not like you weren't warned about it. On top of it, when you were warned about it, when the bigots of the 90s were saying, don't go for homosexual marriage because you're going to have all these things down the line. It's like they were warning you, so you could have known and you should have known. But what did we get from the liberals and the careless leftists? We got, oh, well, that's a slippery slope argument. That's irrational. How could homosexual marriage in the 90s lead to the state chops the testicles of your children without your consent in 2023? Well, here we are. Slippery slope or not, there are some slopes that are actually slippery. And these slopes that are actually slippery, it's not a fallacy to say, hey, careful, you're going to slip down a slippery slope. DK Shadow says, libertarians couldn't shut up about it. Landolt Guntram says, yeah, but the slippery slope is real. That right there is the deadly problem. Oh yeah, the slippery slope fallacy is misunderstood. Actually, the slippery slope fallacy shouldn't be a fallacy at all. What we should say is you have a false premise that the slope is slippery. But there should be no question that if a slope is actually slippery, then it's a danger that you're going to slide when you slide onto it. There's a danger that it's going to go further than you expect. Definitely, the fact that slippery slopes do exist is a symbol that the slippery slope fallacy isn't really a fallacy. It's really an erroneous estimation of the slipperiness of it. Musk warns Biden-backed 40% UAW pay hike risks Big Three bankruptcy. So what are we talking about? Elon Musk is correct. The risk of UAW, So that's the United Automobile Workers, 40% pay hike for its 150,000 members at the big three U.S. automakers could send them spiraling into bankruptcy once again. They want a 40% pay raise and a 32-hour work week. Sure way to drive GM, Ford, and Chrysler bankrupt in the fast lane. Oh, yeah, well, it's amazing. I consider that they're getting paid way too much and they're delivering a product that is just not up to par with what Japan can do. And so to me, if you're going to increase their salary on what they already have, and if they're going to be even more lazy on their hour work week, 32-hour work week, it's going to be impossible to make cars that even work or that are not three or four times the price of what the Japanese have to offer. I'm going full Japanese on this. I say, let these boomers have their 40% pay increase and then fire them. Fire them for reasons of bankruptcy in 2 months from now. The American auto industry is simply not viable. Too much unions, too many people who feel entitled to their job in this industry just make a big parking out of it and buy cars from Japan. That is the solution I propose. And as a last news item, this is unbelievable. So I didn't feel that it was a major news item at all that the Canadian government was applauding to a SS Nazi soldier. I made kind of a joke about it when I covered it. I said, I'm happy everything has been forgiven. I'm happy that this tension with the Nazis has been resolved. Of course, it was a joke. But it's like they invited this guy and they were the one applauding him. So it's like, it's very weird to me to see Canada's speaker resigns after honoring Nazi now wanted for extradition by the Polish minister. Because the right has been all over this, not me, but a lot of people on the right have been over this, and they've been like, yeah, this is this guy. This was an SS Nazi colonel who participated to this and that from the German government. Okay, and so now Poland said, all right, we want this guy. We consider him a Nazi. We want to extradite him. And now you find yourself in a situation where the Canadian government was applauding this guy, but now he's a looked after Nazi that they want to extradite. And they were applauding him for resisting to Russia. Because, of course, he was here alongside Zelensky. It was for the Zelensky appearance in front of the parliament. But what I don't understand is how is this guy apologizing and resigning when 3 days ago he was applauding? So basically, he caused this whole thing, invited this guy, applauded him, and now he realizes, oh my God, that was morally wrong. I have offended people. And he says in his speech, I have offended the Jewish community, among others, and people who were victims of the genocide in Poland. How is it that you shift from, I'm applauding, I'm inviting this guy, to, oh, now I realize the wrongs of my ways within 3 days? He must have received the call. He must have received the call because he says, I have offended the Jewish community. So I guess he received the call, but then you self-abolish for this, you resign. Maybe it was all intentional, you know, maybe it was like, I don't want this job anymore anyway, so I'm going to find a reason for resigning. And since this event just happened, I'm going to say it's the reason why I'm resigning. But to me, it's a non-story. It's a non-story. I've not been offended by the fact that they were clapping. If anything, I'm much more offended that they are clapping to Zelensky, who is currently sending Ukrainian men to their death. I'm much more alarmed by the current deaths of Ukrainian men than by the deaths of Poland decades ago. I'm much more worried about this. To me, if you wanted to be offended about something, it's the current killing of Ukrainian men to a useless war by the American Empire in collaboration with Ukraine. The guy who may or may not have been involved in some evil acts of decades ago, we can handle this later, you know, more pressing issues. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.